Scare me, guys. I want to talk to you about a couple things that were mentioned. Number one, I heard you say, I try to wrap my head around that. If you try to wrap your head around God, you'll go crazy. God is not a God to be figured out. God is a God to trust and to walk by faith with, okay? There's two things we need to learn to walk as we follow God. I want to show you something. Go with me to someplace. New Testament. go with me to Romans. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. Look what it says. It's a good thing to pattern after Gideon if you pattern after the fact that he did an impossible job. And he followed God and he trusted God. Took him a little bit to get there. But we live in an age now where we've got to recognize, here's how we're led. Romans 8:14. Take a look at it. I got to find Romans. Where's Romans? Is Romans in the New Testament? My book's falling apart. Romans 8:14 says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, what? These are sons of God. So what are we led by? The Spirit of God. Now I want you to go with me to Colossians, I believe it is. Think about the fact that we're led by the Spirit of God. That's something your mind's not going to wrap around. You're not going to figure it out. You got to just recognize the Lord, and as He ministers to you, as you begin to pick up on His hand working in your life. And look at verse chapter 3, Colossians, verse 15. Button that together with Romans 8:14, Colossians 3:15 is going to help round out this thing. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, in which also you were called in one body and to be thankful. See, if we are led by the Spirit of God, the fact that we're either in or out of peace is going to dictate whether we're truly following the Spirit of God. Holy Spirit's never going to lead you into a situation where you do not have inner peace. Now, your mind may be going crazy. This don't make sense. I don't know how this is going to happen. How come it's beliefs? How come I got to do this? How come I got to do that? You see, your mind's going to try to wrap around everything. You got to just tell your mind to relax. You know, you don't need to, don't let it go crazy on you. And recognize that inside you, deep in here, you're going to know when it's God. When you lose that inner peace, then you've taken one step too far in one direction. What do we do when we lose our peace? Simple. Go back to the place where you had peace. Go right back. You'll know where it was. You'll know exactly where it was. And you'll know at that point in time what choice to make, if there is a choice to be made. Maybe it's a choice of just staying true to what God's already got your hand doing. One of the hardest things for man to do is to wait on God. Isn't it? Wait on God. We've got to be doing something. We got to be active all the time, don't we? Well, there are times when God's going to call you to wait on Him. There's a scripture that says, wait upon the Lord. Wait upon Him. Be still and know that I am God, He says. In Psalms something or other. You know where that is? 46 what? 46:10. Look that up. Be still and know that I am God. What that's saying is, be still and experience me as God. To know something is to experience something. Be still and experience me as God. In other words, if we allow God to do things for us, it's going to make life a lot easier. The problem is we've got to learn to be still, we've got to learn to trust. Wrestling with God isn't all bad. But you got to get to a place in life where you recognize He's never going to lead you into trouble. It may look like trouble, but there's a purpose behind it, and God's always going to be there with you. God's always never going to lead you up a dead in alley and leave you there. Never going to do anything like that. He's going to always be with you. And you've got to just trust Him, and you've got to learn to recognize when His Spirit is moving for you. You know, I was talking to somebody, I can't remember who it was, a day or so ago, and they were sharing with me what they're witnessing God doing various things in their life. And I said, that's the first thing you got to learn when you're following God, is you got to learn to discern what He's doing in your life. What He's doing through people around you. What He's doing through your family. What He's doing through situations you're going to be dealing with. You've got to see God setting things up. Once you begin to do that, once you begin to recognize His hand moving in your life, you're going to have a great deal more trust in Him than you've ever had before. See, trust in Him is the main thing. Now, I want you to go with me to James. So when we're following God, we're led by the Spirit of God, are we not? And if we lose our peace, what do? Go back to where you last had peace. Amen. All right. Now, another thought hit me as we were sitting going through this chapel that I think is important to mention, because it falls in line with the mind and the mind's desire to throw you off track. Because I want you, if you're in James 1, just hang on to that. Romans 8:7 says, the carnal mind of man, or the fleshly organ called the brain, it's not talking about your dirty mind, your thinking. No, the carnal mind is the flesh. Carnal, flesh. The carnal mind of man is enmity against God. Enmity, I've told you before, I'll tell you again, is hatred for. Your mind and my mind doesn't want to deal with God, doesn't want to follow God at all. It's like the rest of our flesh. I've said this before. The only thing God likes about flesh is the smell of it burning on the altar. And that's a sweet aroma to Him. I imagine it's kind of like us smelling a good steak being grilled, right? Oh yeah, bring it on. I imagine that's God's desire for us, is that we crucify our flesh and put it on the altar so that the spirit man on the inside can be free and allow Him to use us and to flow through us and to anoint us. But your mind is always going to fight that. Always. I don't care if you walk with God 100 years. Your mind's always going to fight that. I've been walking with God 30 some years, and I'm telling you, it's still a battle. And it will be until the Lord takes me out of this body and I see Him face to face. Because flesh never changes. What has to change is the spirit man on the inside willing to let the fleshly man suffer a little bit. Right? We've always pampered the flesh and always followed the flesh. And we've pretty much always been led around by our brain. Our brain's led us around by the nose, which is exactly backwards. The brain was given to us by God as a tool for us, the spirit man, to use when we need to balance our checkbooks and things like that. You're not going to interpret your experiences very accurately with your brain, so you can't trust God with what you're feeling. You got to go to God with what you're feeling so He can show you why you're feeling that way. You can't trust your God by what you remember much of the time, because God can bring things to your remembrance you've long forgot was ever there. See, don't ever say, well, I don't have a memory back past age 92, and so therefore whatever age you are. Well, you may not be able to bring it up, but God can. It's all there. You can't trust your mind. Your mind's going to work against God. Remember, the carnal mind of man is enmity against God, does not obey God's laws, nor can it, the Bible says. You're trying to expect your mind to figure God out so that you can obey His laws and obey Him, you're just wasting your time. You're never going to figure it out. Look to your neighbor and say, quit wasting your time. Man, start talking to God. See? See, start talking to God. You see, the beautiful thing is when the Spirit of God lives in us, you don't need your brain for what it was designed to do. It's got to be that electrical circuit controller that keeps your heart beating, your lungs sucking air, and and keeps your body able to function, you know, at your command. But other than that, the brain's pretty much... God don't want brainless kids. He just don't want kids led around by their brain. Make sense? See, before Christ, you had to use your head. Well, we didn't use it very well, did we? Here we are. So before Christ, even though we were supposed to... And what the world teaches you? Think about it. The world says, come on, use your head. Think about it. I don't know how many times I heard that going through school. Come on, Larry. Think about it. Use your head. Oh my God, that's what got me in trouble. Right? It's what gets all of us in trouble. And I had to take Jesus Christ coming into my life, teaching me how to walk by the Spirit so that I could tell my mind to sit down and shut up for a while. You've already done the damage you're going to do. Now you're not going to do any more, so sit down. I'll call on you if I need you. And I've tried to work real hard in the last 30 some years to live by that. Mind, hush. Because it's always going to argue against you. Always going to argue against you. Now, every battle you will ever face is already up in your head. See, that's another thing you got to understand. The thing that your mind contains is all your problems that's heading your way. Do you know stress isn't something that comes upon you. Stress is what the pressures of life bring out of you. And guess where all the things that's causing stress are stored? Right up here. So you see, everything up there is really kind of bad news for a while. Now you don't want to cut off your head. That wouldn't be any good. Get rid of that thing. Because that's your soul. The Bible says, accept the Word of God. James says, accept this. Well, we're in James. Let's look at it. See, everything, go to 1:17, first of all. Every good gift and every perfect gift come down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be kind of the kind of first fruits in His creature. And then we found out what truth is. Truth is Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus says. So here we go. We got to understand that everything that comes from God is good. Everything. God will never bring you a bad deal. The world hands you lemons. God don't. God will hand you a glass of lemonade. The world's going to hand you all the issues. Your mind's going to cook up things. God's going to never bring you a bad thing. Can you get your head around that for a second? God will never bring... And I don't care what you're taught. I don't care if you were taught He is a big, angry old man in the sky is going to whack you when you do something wrong. Because that's a lie. He's the Father of heavenly lights. He brings down nothing but good gifts. You see, if He brings evil on us, then James chapter 1, 17 and 18 is a lie. Well, I don't think anything in this book is a lie, do you? I don't think it is either. Now, look here. Look at verse 21. Therefore, lay aside all the filthiness and overflow of wickedness and receive with meekness... Here we go. Receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. See, what implanted word? Well, the word that God's going to speak to you. The word that God's going to bring down to you and speak to you. You know, this is His word. His scriptures are His word. But there's more word He wants to speak to you. He wants to speak to you. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread means peculiar bread, or that word from God. Man does not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. See, that's where we're to live, right there. Every word proceeding from the mouth of God is to be our daily bread. And He said, if you will meekly receive this implanted word, it says it's got the power to save your soul. Now, the spirit man's already been saved. You're saved. If you're born again, Spirit of God lives in you, you're saved. Let's get that settled. But now your soul is still wrestling. Isn't it?
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's still trying to take over control. It's still trying to say, what was the name of that place?
Belize.
Belize, are you kidding me? Your mind was trying to wrap around that, see? Your mind's trying to say to you, no, you ain't going to Belize. No, we're going to stay right here where it's comfortable, where it's warm, where we're protected. We're not going to get out of the realm of what we feel comfortable in. See, that's what your mind wants. But God says, yoo-hoo, follow me, son. I got something exciting for you. I got something great for you. God always wants you to follow Him into greatness.
Amen.
Think about this. God doesn't drive you out of your past. He calls you from your future. Yeah. Yoo-hoo. Yeah. You with me?
Yep.
Hello, anybody awake? Yeah. I'm going to have y'all stand up in a minute if I don't hear something. Amen. He doesn't drive you out of your past. Get out of here. Come on, get out of here. No, He calls you from your future.
Amen.
He's got nothing but good gifts for you. And He says, if you can receive with meekness the word I'm going to speak to you, it will have the power to save your soul and make a man out of you. Now go back to James chapter 1 verse 12. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. Anybody in here ever tempted?
Amen.
Oh, you are? You haven't outgrown temptation? Well, I'm 70 going on 71. I haven't outgrown temptation either. Probably never will as long as we live in this fleshly thing called the body. Amen?
Amen.
The body, my mind's still enmity against God. So is yours. Your flesh still wants its way, wants to be pampered, wants to be all... So blessed is the man who endures temptation. Why? For when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. Let no one say when he is tempted that I'm tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. See that right there? That offsets, I mean that goes right along with what we said in James 1, 17 and 18. That He's the Father of good things. He's got a tempter roaming the earth, and He set up a system on this earth that's built on the platform of lies, and that will have is total backward thinking to God. Total backward thinking to God. And so because we live in that condition, in that environment of a total backward thinking in a society that doesn't even understand that their whole basis of their life is built on lies. Because of that, there's great temptation always. Temptation can come from your family. Temptation can come from people who really love you the best they know how.
Amen.
Right? But nobody loves you like God loves you, and nobody understands what's best for you like God. So He says here, blessed are those who endure temptation. For once you've endured it and been approved, you'll be receive the crown of life. Now, let no one say when he's tempted that God did it. God can't tempt. Verse 14, but each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Where does your desires, what does it mean? Drawn away by your own desires and enticed. Where does that desire come from? What is that desire? What is it? Huh?
Fleshly desire.
Fleshly desire, but what? Yeah, where's it come from? Is it?
It's our choice.
Yeah. Your mind. Comes from your mind. Desires come from the mind. Every temptation you will ever face begins with a thought. Say amen.
Amen.
Every temptation you will ever face begins with a thought. Am I telling you the truth?
Yeah.
Think about every temptation that ever led you astray. First thing that happened to you, you got a thought. Oh, yeah. And you were used to following those thoughts, weren't you? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Leading you around by the nose. Your brain was. Think about your brain jumps out, grabs a hook, puts it in your nose, and leads you around. Come on, follow me. I'll show you what to do. That's the way we lived life for many years. Every temptation is what entices us. And those thoughts are the beginning of temptation. Actually, the thought is the seed. And what we do with that seed determines if it's going to grow or die. Best place to whip a battle is before it gets started.
Amen?
Yeah. Where would be the best place to whip this battle? Right in your mind, the first thought that comes, you know a darn good and well what that thought's trying to get you to do. Shoot, I used to be depressed a lot. I went to depression because I got tired of being depressed. I thought, this is stupid. This is non-productive. What am I doing here? What am I doing here? Pity party and me. Probably got more blessings than most. And I finally recognized I didn't have to go where my mind had always led me. And I began to realize that those thoughts that would come to me wanted to lead me down back to my little pity party. Anybody ever been there? If you've ever been depressed, you are. Yeah. And if you're following your mind back down to that little, you know exactly where it's leading you. You know what it's going to ask you to do. Get down there and feel sorry for yourself. Woe is me. Pet your flesh. You know, you'll indulge. You'll do something stupid. That's usually where you went to do your drugs and your alcohol and all the other perverted things that man does. In that pity party time. All started by one thought. A thought. But if you've never been taught to tell your mind to hush, you'll follow that thought. Amen. Blessed is the man who can endure temptation, for once he's been approved and once he's passed the test, he'll receive the crown of life. In other words, you've learned how to live. You've learned that you don't have to live by that same old garbage thinking. You don't have to go down that pity party path. You don't have to go down that place that sounds, that sounds like, that'll be so good. Here's another thing. I've learned here that there's lies that we have in our mind that don't always hurt. Mind, we have memories in our mind that don't always hurt. Lies that don't always hurt. Many of you have had those memories or thoughts or dreams of using when all you could think about was the rush that was going to happen, right? Yeah. Hmm? Yeah. Come on, shake your heads. I got to hear something. Come on. Yeah. You with me? Well, those are lies that don't feel good, that don't feel bad. Because you're in that memory and you feel like, oh, this is going to be awesome. This is going to be great. This is going to be whatever. Well, if you tell God what that feels like, whether it's good or bad, He'll set you straight. He'll help you see the danger in it. Now, I don't mean the physical danger. He'll help you see where you're going. But the point I'm trying to make is that every temptation you will ever have begins with a thought. Now, do you think the devil is going to bring, or your brain, heck with the devil, he's long gone. Shoe ain't important enough for him. He's already off. He's frying bigger fish someplace else, right? And so we've got to recognize that our worst enemy sits on our shoulders. And we've got to recognize when those thoughts come, we've got to quit blaming the devil. That's what Christians do when they don't understand something. Well, blame the devil. That way it gets the heat off me. Well, the devil made me do it. No, he didn't make you do anything. The devil can't make you do anything. A thought made you do something. Oh, something as big and powerful as a thought. Thoughts are powerful. So all of a sudden this thought comes. What are you going to do with it? Well, you're supposed to. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says, take every thought captive, bring it into the obedience of Christ. Sometimes before that thought comes, an argument precedes it. Or maybe there's even an argument after the thought comes. Well, I don't want to do that. Yeah, but you ought to do that. Well, it'd really feel good if you did do that. No, I don't think I want to do that. Yeah, but if you did, remember the last time? Well, see, you think the enemy's going to bring, you think your mind's going to bring to you all the thoughts of what it was like to be suffering because of the temptation we gave into. You think he's going to show us that? No. See, that shows you your mind has a mind of its own. Your mind has an agenda to destroy the spirit man. Every created thing wants to return to its original source right after it was created. Your flesh has been trying to get you back to the ground ever since you were little. Your mind has been trying to get you to heaven. To a degree, not really. Your mind works with your flesh, stupid thing. I've tried to tell it. Quit doing that. I don't want to follow you anymore. Your spirit man's been trying to get you back to heaven ever since you were born again. Before you were born again, you were just kind of stumbling around through life like all of us were. But you see, there's that battle that continually rages, and it will constantly rage. And every man who withdures or endures temptation, withstands it, and doesn't give in to it, will receive a crown of life. Because every temptation is merely begun by a thought. A thought. Now, if you think about that, man, thoughts are whipping me. That's what happens, you see. A thought will get you. Guys that go through the program and end up failing because they begin to pay attention to the thoughts again. That's all it is. Well, it's so hard, so much temptation. Life's full of temptation. Yeah, here you're protected. Like a baby in the womb, you're protected. But that's not the way it is outside the gates. Constant temptation come your way. But they always are preceded with... Huh? Say it. Say it. Thoughts. A silly, little, microsecond thought. And when that desire has conceived, in other words, when you begin to entertain that thought, it gives birth to sin. Sin is the action you take or the word you speak that was started by that thought. And it was cultivated and grew and matured in your mind as you thought and talked about it and began to entertain it. And then when it's full grown, it brings forth death. See, sin can be in you. Sin could be a part of what's driving you, but it's not full grown yet until you shoot up, snort, smoke, whatever you do. See, whatever you do. Whatever you've done. Whatever you do here. Sometimes, you know, I don't suppose any of you have ever sinned since you've been here, right?
No.
Huh? You just did. You just did.
Hey, he's made perfect in our weakness.
You just did. See, we all have these thoughts that say, we can get by with this. Shoot, what's a cookie? They got a lot of cookies back there. Mm-hmm. And I'm hungry. And besides that, I may never get another cookie ever. Your mind will tell you that. You may never get another cookie ever. This may be your last chance to get a cookie. Right? Isn't that the way it feels? When you go on a fast, your body begins, your mind begins to instantly tell you, oh my God, that's dangerous. You're never going to eat again. You may never get another food. What makes us go through the line and pile food on our plate like there's no tomorrow? The thought. The thought that says you better get it now because I tell you what, the rest of these buzzards are coming. They're going to eat it all and you'll never get any more food. See, those are thoughts. You got to tell those thoughts to hush. See, you got to whip that battle right there in the thought process. Now, here's how you whip it. If you try to whip it by just shoving it out of your mind, it's going to whip you. If you try to whip it just with your own strength, it's going to whip you, Donnie. It's going to whip you bad. It has, hasn't it? Did it whip you today? Okay. See, if you try to do it on your own, in your own power, you're going to suffer and fail.
Amen.
How then do we whip it? How then do we put to death that thought so that it no longer has a power over us? How do we endure the temptation and whip? How do we do that?
Stay in fellowship with the Father. Stay in the Word.
By asking God for His help. Lord, I need some help right now. You know the temptation I'm going under. You know what my mind's trying to do, God. I need some help to get rid. Then you tell your mind to hush. Tell your mind to hush. Then you put your mind on things above.
Yeah.
Three steps. Maybe four.
Is this four or three?
You identify that you got a thought. That shouldn't be too hard. Right? You know where that thought's going to lead. Nope, we're not going there. And you start out well. Nope, we're not going to do that. Oh man, I never thought about it that way. See, you begin to entertain that thing. No, immediately, you got to say, mind, hush. We're not going there. Hush. Period. Lord Jesus, I need some help. Now I'm putting my mind on things above, not on things in the earth. I put my mind, even focusing on Jesus asking for help, put your mind on things of God.
Amen.
And what does the Bible say? Put your mind on the things of God. Resist the enemy, he'll flee. Works every time. But if you don't put your mind on things of God and ask Him for help, you're going to suffer and fail. I don't want you to suffer and fail, do you? You're tired of suffering and failing. Do you realize if you follow God and do what the Bible tells us, we'll never fail again? How'd you like to live a life of failure free? Yeah? I haven't failed in 30 years. Have I done things wrong? Yeah. I thought you said you didn't fail. I haven't. I followed God. Have I erred in the process of following God? Well, yeah, occasionally we all will. Any man who says he has no sin is a liar. The truth's not in him. I'm not a sinner. I don't go forward to defeat God and to sin and to hurt anybody. But as we go through life, we're naturally going to make mistakes. We're naturally going to see things wrong for a second. We're naturally going to do things wrong because we see it wrong. And we have to learn. That's how we learn, for Pete's sake. Good thing about getting something wrong is that you've learned something, hopefully. Now, if you get things wrong all the time, never learn anything, now we've got another problem. But you see, be led by the Spirit of God. Be led by the peace of God. When those thoughts come that tempt you, say, no, we're not going there. Mind, sit down, shut up, hush, Jesus, I need some help here. You know the thought I've got. You know the temptation I'm under. Would you help me? Would you strengthen me? And then you put your mind on things above. You put your mind, let them focus on Jesus. Let them focus on what He's doing. And get your mind busy on other things, and I'll guarantee you the thought will pass and you'll whip that thing. And you'll endure. And you will whip that thing. And you will receive that crown of life. Amen?
Amen.
That's our goal. Father, thank You. Thank You for just really making it simple. I think You've just made it simple enough even I can get a hold of it. And that's pretty miraculous in itself. So, Father, thank You. I ask You to bless these men today, Lord. Lord God, I just speak victory and peace and joy into their lives. I declare by faith in this place today, Your perfect will shall be done right here as it is in heaven. Everybody agreed and said,
Amen.
Amen.